If you are poor and African-American in this country, your future prospects can be grim. We've been talking for years now about the school-to-prison pipeline. Young black people who get in trouble in school can end up in a pathway that leads to trouble with the law and time behind bars. Our guest this hour documents that pipeline in a pair of documentaries, both showing at Southern Oregon University during this Race Awareness Week. Elementary Genocide 1 and Elementary Genocide 2 and the coming Elementary Genocide 3 are all the creation of Raheem Shabazz, journalist, filmmaker, and owner of Rasha Entertainment. And he's here in the studio with me. Raheem, good to see you. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, thank you for having me.
So let's talk about it. You tweeted recently that in certain schools in America, the only technology is a metal detector and not a computer. That sounds like a pretty grim situation.
Absolutely, absolutely. In New York, where I'm originally from, there are more resource officers, which is just a code name, nice name for police officers, than there are guidance counselors. So it gets uglier than just seeing metal detectors. You actually have law enforcement that has a prominent presence in the school system.
And the justice as such is doled out differently for different people of different colors of skin. I mean, as you pointed out a tweet, too, to a story in Virginia about a 13-year-old who was put on trial for stealing, allegedly, a 65-cent carton of milk.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. When it comes to suspension and, you know, even with the sentencing, there's a disparity for those that are African-American males or females. For the same offense, sometimes you're three more times as likely to end up in prison where your other counterpart that is of a different race is not even suspended from school. So there's an implicit bias in the way that, you know, these young kids are being treated in the school system.
I notice as part of Race Awareness Week at Southern Oregon University, and your first two films will be shown today and tomorrow, that there was implicit bias training. Did you get a chance to sit in on that?
No, I haven't got a chance to sit in on that, but I heard about it, and I heard it was well received.
So what's it like to be brought in for Race Awareness Week at a place where there aren't that many people of color?
I think it's a unique situation because you get to actually speak to them. You know, they get to hear the other side, the other perspective. And I did have dialogue with people of color and their white allies yesterday. And it was a good and informative dialogue. And I look forward to meeting more people and doing an actual screening.
Let me give the screening times today. We have Elementary Genocide Part 1 will be airing today. I don't see a time. 6 p.m. it looks like. Is that right?
Yes, 6 p.m.
6 p.m. for Elementary Genocide Part 1 tonight at the Rogue River Room at the Stevenson Union. Elementary Genocide Part 2 tomorrow night, same time?
Yes.
Same place. Okay. Actually, that's going to be the Meese Auditorium in the Arts Complex at SOU. We're talking to Raheem Shabazz about those two films, Elementary Genocide 1 and 2, and number 3 is in the works. You can join us on the exchange at 800-838-3760 or by email jx@jeffnet.org. I listened to a couple of interviews with you. You mentioned in the past being motivated by a Marcus Garvey quote about education.
Oh, yes. Marcus Garvey says, ignorance rules the world. Well, I'm sorry. He said, you know, when you look at people that are highly intelligent, then what you see is that, you know, intelligence rules the world and ignorance carries the burden. So that was one of the most profound quotes that I heard from Marcus Garvey, and I try to live by that. You know, I don't want to be a burden for anybody, and especially for my people. So, you know, I let intelligence rule, and that's what I try to teach.
So what was it that made you finally say, that's it, I got to make this documentary the first time?
Well, I think when I look at my life and my background and how I came up, I came up in the unruly streets of Harlem. I found myself in trouble and on the wrong side of the law, just like many of the young men and women today. And I was able to see, like, once again, when we talk about intelligence, we talk about education. It was through education that everything that I imagined became possible. And I just seen the disparity in what was going on. And I did the research, and I just said, you know, this is a story that needs to be told. And oftentimes, you know, stories are told, but it's not from our narrative. So, you know, with documentary filmmaking, you're able to control the narrative. I did it independently. I went all, you know, up and down the East Coast and West Coast, and it was well received. And here I am today in Oregon.
Yeah, it's good to have you here. So the school-to-prison pipeline beginning in preschool, though, is one of the claims made. It really does start that young, you think?
Yes, absolutely. In 2010 is when I began to do the research. And research told us that if you're not reading on grade level when you're in the third or fourth grade, that there's a 75% chance that you will end up in prison. But since then, after releasing the documentary and doing further research, it has been discovered that it begins when you step foot in a kindergarten class.
So was that a 75% chance of ending up in prison if you're not at grade level by third grade?
Yes, absolutely. And what's being done is that, you know, they look at these numbers and they're able to project how many prisons that they're going to build in the next 10 to 15 years. And these prisons are sold on the stock market with companies like CCA, you know, Correction Corporation of America, and other private institutions.
So let's hear a clip, actually, from Elementary Genocide 1. And give a sense of what's going on. It's about a minute long. We'll hear a clip here from the school-to-prison pipeline from Elementary Genocide 1.
Statistically, if a black boy cannot read by the time he finishes the fifth grade, there's a 75% chance that he will be a criminal by the age of 25. It is the relationship between miseducation and criminology.
When you look at instances like New York stop and frisk, when you look at instances like Troy Davis, Trayvon Martin case, which has ignited everyone across the world, you know that racism is alive and well in America.
When you look at the prisoners, the majority of us.
Everything that we aspire to be, everything that conspires against us, typically they meet on it.
Black men are being publicly traded on Wall Street the same way you trade sugar, leather, gold, diamonds, just like in slavery, black men are the raw resource of America.
The goal is to get bodies, to get free labor, and to generate money and commerce at the expense of whoever just happens to get caught into the system.
So when you listen to that clip, Raheem Shabazz, there's a real sense that this is deliberate. It's not just something that happened. Oh, darn, you know, these were poor people and they ended up in bad circumstances. But you're seeing this as a deliberate move to send people to prison as commodities.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. It's slavery by another name. And when you look at it, you know, you have to be real with yourself and say it's a money thing, you know. CCA, if you go on their website, their motto is, if we build it, they will come. And when you in the documentary, there's one interesting piece that I know a lot of people's going to say, wow. They had a legislation where they was trying to get passed with where they sent out a memorandum to all states saying that, you know, as a private prison corporation, what we can do is we can run your state prisons and your federal prisons at a fraction of the cost that you're running it at. But the only stipulation is that we have to occupy, or it has to be 90% occupancy rate. You know, some states agreed to that, some didn't. And what that does is it says that you have to maintain this occupancy rate unless, you know, it's contractual agreement and the contract is void or it's a breach of contract and you have to pay a fine. So what happens is that they arbitrarily start locking people up. So this is where you have the stop and frisk and the broken window theory, which we know doesn't work. And we've seen the ramifications of that in New York City and all around the country.
And there have been judges who got nailed, too, for sending people off to prison to fill quotas.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And that was a documentary called Kids for Cash. Yeah, very, very good documentary.
Let's take a call here. Let me invite people again to join us. Raheem Shabazz is our guest on The Exchange, journalist and filmmaker, creator of Elementary Genocide 1 and 2, showing at Southern Oregon University tonight and tomorrow. And then he's at work right now on Elementary Genocide 3 about the school-to-prison pipeline. You can join this discussion at 800-838-3760 or jx@jeffnet.org. Here's a call from Cameron in Mendocino County. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange.
How are you doing?
Good. You?
I'm doing good. My name's Cameron. I work as a behavioral counselor in the Mendocino school system over here.
Mm-hmm.
And I just wanted to compliment Rasheen on his film. I've actually been writing a book on this, a very similar topic. I worked with all boys growing up from age 8 to 12 or 13. And it's pretty atrocious what's going on, because the stop and frisk is putting these boys who live in poverty, even the highest IQ kids, into the penal system at an early age. So I just wanted to pass my email on as a resource to Rasheen if you ever needed any West Coast information or, you know, information in the Northern California area.
All right. So is it one you want to give it out of the air, or would you want to just take us – do you want us to take it on hold and we can pass it along?
You could probably just take it on hold and just pass it on to him. I just – you know, I really just wanted to more pass my email on to him than anything else.
Okay. We'll put you on hold, and we'll have Emily pick you up and get that information. Thanks for that, Cameron. Thanks for the call.
Yep. Yeah, thank you.
All right. Take care. So give us a sense, Raheem, for what you hope to have happen upon the release of the original version of Elementary Genocide, and what kind of reaction you got.
As far as the reaction that I have been receiving, I think people are enraged, you know, when they see it. You know, first it's the cultural shock, like, no, this can't be happening, this can't be done. And after doing further research, they're saying, wow, this is actually happening. And then more times than not, if it's not directly affecting you, you hear about it happening with other people. And I think people are actually waking up, they're enraged. And one of the things that I like to tell people all the time is that this is more than a documentary. This is a call for action. So whether you have children or not, you know, you have to be proactive, you know, in getting certain legislation passed, certain laws enacted. And for those that are parents, that you must be vigilant and proactive in the parents' teachers conference, you know, and the PTA meetings and different things like that.
Get involved.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. And I can imagine, though, that you get different responses from different audiences. I mean, some people who know what this is like in their own lives, and other people who are just shocked because they never heard of anything like this.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. So who are the people that we heard, like in that clip we played? I mean, yeah, a lot of different voices in the first Elementary Genocide and the other two as well, I'm sure.
Okay. In that clip that you heard, the first person that spoke, that was Dr. Umar Johnson. You also have Dr. Boyce Watkins. You have Supreme Understanding. You have Sister Amina. You have Killer Mike. You have a variety of people. Professor Ed Garns, Torrin Stevens, Khadija Stewart, and the list goes on and on.
Mm-hmm. Did you think when you were busy putting together the first Elementary Genocide, the school-to-prison pipeline, that would be it? Or did you always envision this as more? I wonder what was left unsaid, or that you just that kept you going to make more.
No, I always envisioned just doing one documentary. But as you do more research, you start learning more things. Like, I learned that the third grade is where they're able to track it at, but it begins long before that. And then, you know, after, you're always going to receive criticism. You know, a lot of people told me, you know, this is a good documentary, but it's more focused on males and not females. So when I went back and I did the research, you know, that's what part two came in, where I highlighted the phenomenal that's going on with females, because we learned that in the last 30 years, there have been an 800% increase in the arrest of females as far as incarceration. And what I wanted to do was I wanted to go all the way back to the landmark ruling of 1954, Brown versus Board of Education, and bring it up to today. So that's what we did in the second one. And then I felt there was a need to close it out on a stronger note with what's going on in society in regards to police brutality, and tie that all in. So that one is called Academic Holocaust, and that should be out in February.
Okay, let's get a clip in here from Elementary Genocide 2, which is called The Board of Education versus the Board of Incarceration. So it's about a little more than half a minute. Here's that clip.
The Brown versus Board of Education Supreme Court decision of May 17, 1954 was a watershed moment in the history of the black civil rights movement in this country. But it also did more harm than good.
First of all, we have to define the word education. In the 1968 speech done by H. Rep. Brown called The Politics of Education, he said that black people in America are not educated, but they are trained.
The worst thing that it did was to destroy our own independent black institutions.
So even though it brought black children into white schools, it did not bring a representative amount of black teachers into the white public school.
That's a real woe moment for a lot of people, isn't it? You got people criticizing Brown versus Board of Education, which a lot of people assume it's a great thing. It finally said you can't have separate but equal, because they certainly weren't equal. They were separate. But so now we're saying that it's not a good thing?
No, it hasn't been a good thing. And I give you several instances now. For those that said, you know, okay, well, everything is, not segregated, we integrate it right now. They have schools that are just predominantly white, you know. And they said, you know, in America, is as segregated as it ever been, you know. Also, as the clip was saying, that they integrated the students and not the teachers. So what happened was 82,000 black teachers lost their jobs as a result of that. Because, like I said, the students got integrated and not the teachers. And what you had was you had teachers that, you know, come from the same cultural background that was able to relate more with the students that was no longer there within their lives.
So what's the answer? I mean, how do we approach this? I mean, particularly when society seems to self-segregate now.
I think one of the main components is looking at the curriculum of the educational system. You know, why kids are not interested in it. Also, you know, one of the main solutions to all problems is homeschooling, which I think is growing at a magnificent rate. And we know that when we deal with the school-to-prison pipeline, statistically, that there's no arrest for when you're homeschooling. And those that are homeschooled, statistics show that they achieve higher academic success. So the real question is how do you convince an upcoming generation that education is the key to success when they're surrounded by poor graduates and rich criminals? So some people don't look at education as being viable. So we have to change that narrative and show them that through education, everything can be possible. But it has to be the right education. It can't just be an education that doesn't have you think critically. And I think that's what's being done. A lot of teachers are teaching to the test. They're not showing people how to be entrepreneurs and how to be self-sufficient. And then not just to be an employee, but to be a boss.
To be able to step back and question the larger picture.
Well, absolutely.
I hear that a lot, yeah, from people who say that critical thinking skills are no longer around. Raheem Shabazz, a couple minutes left with him. He is the creator of the three films now, under the title of Elementary Genocide. You can join us on The Exchange at 800-838-3760 or jx@jeffnet.org. Quickly, here's Sandy in Mount Shasta. Welcome to The Exchange.
Yeah, hi. Great program, and I'm so appreciative of the work that your guest is doing. And I wanted to ask him, are these films ever going to become like available for purchase, so that anybody who's interested in trying to maybe host a discussion at a library or something like that could do that?
Oh, yes. We have been selling the documentary. It has been a top 10 seller on Amazon. You also can get it directly from the website, elementarygenocide.com, and we have screened it all over the country, up and down the East Coast and the West Coast. A lot of screenings are being done at public libraries by small groups, think tanks. So you can find it on Amazon. You can find it directly on the website.
So for the get back to what you were saying before Sandy's call, and yeah, the website is elementarygenocide.com. the idea of homeschooling as perhaps a way to break the school to prison pipeline, though. But if people, you know, if you got like a single mother or single father or whatever, they can't do the homeschooling because they have to work. What are the changes that you see, if any, that can be made in the existing public education system to stop the pipeline flowing from school to prison?
Well, to answer your first question, for those that are single parents, and, you know, a lot of single parents, they work one, two jobs. What they have is a co-op. You know, you necessarily as a parent doesn't have to teach the homeschool. You can send your children to a homeschool. Mm-hmm. So that's the answer to the first question. And as far as the solution, I think as parents, like I said earlier, we have to be more proactive. And as far as the school, I think as far as the school, that the curriculum is what's not interesting to the students. And it doesn't resonate, you know. What we have is, when you look at the failing policies in the curriculum in the education system, you had the No Child Left Behind, now you have the Race to the Top, and now you have Common Core. And all of them are failures. You know, but they're being implemented by corporations. You know, I'm not sure if you're familiar with McGill Hill, that does the publishing.
Is it McGraw-Hill?
McGraw-Hill. Yeah. I'm sorry. I thank you for correcting me. McGraw-Hill, that does the publishing. They have a three-generation history with the Bush family. You know, Bush is the one that enacted No Child Left Behind. They're the ones that published the book. They're the ones that put out the software to teach the students teach the teachers how to implement these things. So at the end of the day, it's a billion-dollar business. You know, these are policies that's being implemented from the government, and it's not helping the people. And I think that when you have community education that's being done by the people that's in the community and the government is not overseeing it, I think the educational system would be more viable.
So a lot more scattered and a lot less centralized like it is now.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, we've learned a lot, and we'll learn more from watching the films Elementary Genocide 1, The School to Prison Pipeline, Elementary Genocide 2, The Board of Education versus the Board of Incarceration. And coming in February, I think you said?
Yes.
Elementary Genocide 3, Academic Holocaust. You can see parts 1 and 2 as part of Race Awareness Week at Southern Oregon University. Elementary Genocide 1 with a talk back with Raheem tonight at 6 at the Rogue River Room at the Stevenson Union on the Southern Oregon University campus. Part 2 tomorrow night at the Mies Auditorium in the Arts Complex on the Southern Oregon University campus. Raheem Shabazz, thanks so much for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you for having me. Pleasure. I appreciate it.
Okay.